Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Look, I like the guy. I think he can be a contributor, but he's not the honey badger anymore. He's a good NFL safety that you can probably prioritize elsewhere.
Would you care to give him a new nickname?
What is he? Is he Honey Boo Boo? He goes from the honey badger to honey boo boo. Now he is going to kick my ass.
Me honey boo boo cha.
Oh my gosh.
I knew I was going to hear that again. Figgy, I didn't think it would turn it around that quickly.
Honey boo boo. Do the Texans need to sign honey boo boo? 713-572-4610.
Me honey boo boo cha.
Stanford Rout about to join the show. The 10-year NFL veteran, formerly of the Oakland Raiders, among other teams. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about Romeo Crennel, because I threw it out there at noon. I'm concerned about this defense, and I know that they have their holes on offense, but I think when healthy, with a few tweaks here and there, I'm confident that this offense led by Deshaun Watson can be elite. I think it can be a very, very good offense. With all the problems that we think they have, this was the 15th best offense in the entire NFL. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, only 10 teams in the NFL gave up more points than the Texans last year per game. They gave up 25 points per game. Mm-hmm. And in the playoffs, we saw them get slapped around by the Colts early, to where the Colts basically took their foot off the gas, and that was the end of that. I'm concerned about this defense, and I'm concerned about Romeo Crennel, because one way that I judge a defensive coordinator is when the other team has one guy that you need to stop, do you shut him down and make the other guys beat you? It's the Bill Belichick formula. He gets credit for it, but all good defensive coordinators do that. That's just what happens.
Well, that's what they try
to do. Defensive coordinators, and that's what Romeo Crennel used to be able to do. But in week one, the Patriots had Rob Gronkowski and nobody else. Julian Edelman was out with a suspension. Josh Gordon wasn't there yet. Kevin Hogan was coming back from an injury. They had nothing else going for them, and Rob Gronkowski had 7 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton with the Colts last year in the playoffs, he shows up to the stadium in a clown mask after Jonathan Joseph had called him a clown. You can say they only held him to 5 catches for 85 yards.
Oh, he broke the game open.
But he broke the game open early. I want to say he had 3 or 4 of those catches on the first drive, including 2 of those on third down.
63-yarder, I believe?
Yes. It was a long bomb inside the 10-yard line. By the way, in the 2 games he faced the Texans, one of which he had to leave the game for a quarter because he was injured, he had 18 catches for 314 yards, despite being the only guy on that offense that you really had to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me in regards to Romeo Crennel, and I also don't think he's using Whitney Merciless right, and I don't think this team, given the talent they have in the front 7, sacks the quarterback enough.
Now, clearly you have to give a lot of credit to the opposing quarterback. Who were the quarterbacks in those games?
Andrew Luck and Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. But that's not an excuse per se, because they didn't face great quarterbacks last year. Every time they did, they struggled or lost. The quarterbacks they faced were at best solid, if you will, as we talked about last year. But now, the 2019 schedule, and we've gone over it a number of times, they're facing some seriously good quarterbacking talent, and I feel like they need to upgrade the secondary. Pick your poison, all right? You know, they either need to get better personnel, which I don't think we were just talking about how deep they are at safety and prioritizing the safety position. Corner's getting a little older, but I think they're going to bring in a cornerback or draft a cornerback. I think it could be scheme, and by scheme, it does point to Romeo Crennel, and Stanford will talk about this, but it does point to Romeo Crennel, but because he's never been strong as a secondary coach. One of the best defensive coordinators in history with the front 7, with blitz packages, with just pressure that you can, you know, bring up the middle or from various angles. But in terms of the secondary, he's just never been known for that.
And I didn't really see that last year with the Texans in regards to pressure. So I must have missed something. It could be as simple as personnel. And we know the secondary needs to get better. As far as improving within, you're going to bring back Jonathan Joseph. Maybe you can push him further down the depth chart by bringing in more talent. Aaron Colvin, who was a disaster last year, complete dumpster fire season. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. They brought him in after he was the best slot corner in the NFL, didn't allow a touchdown in Jacksonville, and they hoped they could make him into a guy that you could line up on the outside. You have to cut your losses at this point because the cap hit that it would cost to get rid of him is going to cost too much. So you've got to, in year two, you've basically got to cut your losses and make him an elite, let him be your elite slot corner and hold that down. So that'll help the secondary as well. Mm-hmm. Greedy Williams is a name we keep hearing in the draft. 6'3 cornerback out of LSU, 6 interceptions 2 years ago. Basically, they didn't really throw at him that much last year. He's a guy that they could be. So, yeah, the personnel can get a lot better. But even with all that said, I outside of maybe an interior defensive lineman or something like
that's
that.
That's where I think they're looking that we're not really talking about. Nobody's talking about.
Ndamukong Suh.
Nobody's talking about guys.
Ndamukong Suh is the guy that I think they should look at. And Ndamukong Suh, you know, in the past, whenever his name would be thrown out there, you would say, well, he's a 3 technique and a 4-3 defense. And you would have been correct because that's exactly what he was at Nebraska. That's what he was with the Lions, and that's what he was with the Miami Dolphins. But last year, played for Wade Phillips, who runs a 3-4 defense. And Ndamukong Suh, late in the season, came on. He was a complete force. He was pretty reckless. So he's shown that he can play in this scheme.
The postseason.
He's shown that he can play. This is a guy that nobody's really talking about that I think that you can look at and maybe consider bringing in because these big heavy nose tackles and defensive linemen they have, it works when you're stopping the run. And I think they did an okay job stopping the run last year. But when you're trying to rush the passer, that's not what you want. And I don't like this lining up Whitney Merciless over the nose guard and all that kind of stuff and randomly bringing in Duke Ejiofor and putting these guys over the center as well. I don't like all that
stuff.
The
only players you should do that with are Clowney and Watt because you can create such a big mismatch. Quarterbacks in the NFL today are too smart when you put guys like Merciless and other guys in different spots or stand them up or whatever because they'll say, okay, well, Omaha, let's check to a run over here or whatever it may be. But Clowney and Watt are just too big of a mismatch that you can get away with that.
Antonio Brown, he met with the Steelers yesterday. We've thrown out the potential home run of swinging for the fences with Antonio Brown. That's not going to happen. Reports are now that Antonio Brown is going to select the teams that he wants, or he's not going to select. The Steelers are going to be selective from a competitive standpoint and not trade him to certain teams, which means for whatever reason, the Steelers subscribe to this theory that we aren't going to trade you to a team in the division or we're not going to trade you to a team.
I don't think they subscribe to that. I think that's what people just presume. They always say that with teams. Well, they're not going to trade him to a division rival. Now, look, in some instances, they would prefer not to. They would prefer not to trade him to an AFC team, but too many teams have good. If you pass on the best deal, then you're not doing your job.
Your biggest nightmare for Antonio Brown is?
I mean, it's got to be the Colts, right?
And what is number two?
Probably the Patriots.
And that would happen if?
Well, if Gronk retires, I think he could end up there. I think more likely Odell Beckham Jr. because the Patriots have already expressed interest. And actually, not only expressed interest, tried to get Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's a better fit. They can deal with some personality disorders. Not necessarily, that have been diagnosed, but you know what I'm talking about.
You're talking about the Randy Moss and you're talking about the Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Hernandez. My mom's an expert on Aaron Hernandez, by the way.
She's
been reading a lot of his books. She's been reading a lot of those books. I don't know why she's so fascinated with it and why she chose that to be something that she's intrigued by, but she's an expert on it.
Side note, according to SpotRac, the free agent market for Ndamukong Suh is not as much as I thought it would be. $9.5 million.
For what, 1 year?
Per year, yeah.
Make that happen.
It's not that much. He made 14 last year.
That's cutting Kevin Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's cutting Kevin Johnson plus $2 million gets you in Ndamukong Suh. And you put him in there with J.J. Watt. You put him in there with Jadeveon. I mean, could you imagine being a quarterback? And I know we got kind of a dose of it last year when the Rams had Fowler, Sue, and Donald. But if the Texans had Clowney, Watt, and Ndamukong Suh rushing the quarterback, come on, man.
I'm telling you, that's where they need help. They need help on the interior defensive line. They really do.
And it'll be interesting because I don't know if I don't think the Rams are gonna bring back Sue. I don't think that's going to happen. So he's gonna be looking. He's gonna want to play somewhere where, you know, they're probably. Is a chance at winning because he hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Came up short with the Rams. So just make it happen. Just make it happen. Mm-hmm. Don't sit there and try to turn chicken-ish into mm-hmm. chicken salad with another cornerback. You did that last year with Aaron Colvin. If you want to go bargain shopping and you want to bring in some guys that mm-hmm. you think could add some depth, they need some guys that can play man-to-man. I think that would be good. Some guys that can line up on receivers and play man to man. If you want to go bargain shopping, do that, but don't give someone in the same category as Aaron Colvin $20 million again. That would be a nightmare. The worst thing the Texans can do this offseason is sign a cornerback for a lot of money like Aaron Colvin and then be handcuffed with two guys that completely
flopped. Well, and the other part of that is what are you going to do with Aaron Colvin? I mean, you can't you've
said it's got to be a slot corner.
You said just put him back at slot corner and let him do what he did in Jacksonville. He couldn't even be active. You know, he couldn't even be active at the end of the year.
I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, would you believe the report that came out before every game?
I refuse to believe, and this is just for my own sanity, I refuse to believe that Aaron Colvin's worse than what we saw from Sharice Wright. If that's true, like, I know sometimes coaches will like Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson came out, Rams running back C.J. Anderson, and said Todd Gurley was more hurt than we thought, mm-hmm. despite the fact Sean McVay and Todd Gurley both said that he was healthy.
Right.
But if Aaron Colvin really was 100% at the end of last year, and he couldn't get on the field
right.
for number 43, Sharice Wright.
That's a problem. That's a big problem.
That's more than a problem.
Yeah. It's the worst move that Brian Gain has made to date.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's really the only bad move that he's really yeah. made. If you really look at it, is the Aaron Colvin. But again, just make him a slot corner, cut your losses, and
or
and
try to make him a slot corner.
He's already been a slot corner. He's already shown he can do it.
He wasn't at the end of the year.
But I don't think they needed him to be a slot corner. I think they needed him to line up on the outside. I was told, and I heard that they knew that Aaron Colvin was not the right decision early on,
mm-hmm.
like in many camps. Like they looked at this guy and they said, you know what, we made the wrong decision. This guy just can't do it. But with that said, I'm just going to assume that he was banged up at the end of the year because if you can't get on the field over Sharice Wright, I don't know what to say to you. You might not even be able to make an AAF roster if you can't get on the field over Sharice Wright. I'm sorry. That's absolutely ridiculous. And Sanford Rout joins the.
Why don't you bounce your Romeo Crennel theory off of Stanford Rout? Because he and I have had this conversation off the air. I want to see if we can bring it on the air.
And Stanford actually had Romeo as his head coach. You remember what y'all's record was when you played for Romeo Crennel?
Yes, I definitely remember.
All right, what was it?
It was – actually, for me, it was just 1-7.
For you?
Do you know what was the team's record? Don't be selfish.
It wound up being 2-14 that year.
Yeah, you were a 2-14 team, despite the fact you had 6 Pro Bowlers on
I remember that year, yes.
You had 6.
That's crazy.
I think 4 on defense.
Yeah, you had Tom Ali, Justin Houston, Derek Johnson, and Eric Berry.
Yeah, Eric Berry.
And your punter was a Pro Bowler, and Jamal Charles, straight out of PAT, was a Pro Bowler. I'm worried about Romeo Crennel, and I know we're talking about the offense, but my nightmare situation right now, and my as I look forward to 2019, is I could see the offense getting fixed with a few tweaks and guys coming back. I could see the offense being good and being in the upper echelon of the league. They were 15th last year, even with all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about Romeo Crennel and the way he calls the defense. And the reason that I am is because, number one, they didn't pressure the quarterback last year. And this could be a personnel thing, but they didn't pressure the quarterback. 25 of the 43 sacks were from two guys. Also, when you knew that you had to shut down a guy on an opposing team, not only did you struggle to do that, you completely fell flat on your face. And I'm talking about Rob Gronkowski in week one when Julian Edelman was out. There was no Josh Gordon, and Kevin Hogan or Chris Hogan, whatever the hell his name was coming back from an injury. Rob Gronkowski had 7 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton, I don't even need to say what he did to you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't know if the game's passed him by. I don't know if it could just be more of a personnel thing. But from what I've seen from this defense and what I saw from Romeo Crennel, I am worried that the Texans have a problem on defense, and I think it has a little bit to do with their elderly defensive play caller. Am I out of bounds, Stanford Rout?
I don't think that you're totally out of bounds, but I think that you also have to look at everything in its totality in the macro. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go ahead and you break everything down to the micro, you got to remember with Romeo Crennel, that's what we always called him. With Rack, with a guy like him, he is a absolute genius when it comes to the front seven.
Bingo.
When it comes to figuring out how to do things to the front seven, how to get the zone drops, how to get the pressure to the quarterback, he is great at that. Now, I do believe that his blind spot is in the back end. I noticed that even back when I was in Kansas City for the brief time I was back in 2012, mm-hmm. that is his blind spot. So I think that also with the Texans, with the way that they've always been since I've been watching them, even back to my days in Oakland, they have always been predicated on the pass rush, always predicated on the front seven. And if you can get those guys and actually block them up front, and then you put everybody on an island in the back end, I think that you can have your way.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I've been saying, I think Stanford and I are in agreement on this.
Of course, we're Spurs fans.
There we go. It's a blind spot.
They still have a franchise.
But not only that.
Five rings.
Not only that, they've got, so it's still his responsibility.
Yes.
Because you can't be considered one of the greatest defensive coordinators in history and, you know, people are just exploiting your secondary with any decent quarterback or decent receiver. So is it Anthony Midgett, the secondary coach, or some of the other some of the other assistants, or what do you do to remedy that? Because you're facing some badass quarterbacks in 2019.
Absolutely. I think that it starts from the top down, because mm-hmm. I remember I was just having this conversation with one of my good friends last night at the gym. Mm-hmm. And I think that honestly, a lot of it has to do with the scouting department and who we're choosing to draft, because in this league, you got to be able to cover these receivers. You have to, or unless you got to have extreme pressure from the front seven. You got to have either or. Some teams, they wind up having both. That's what makes them great defenses. And I think for a lot of the decision makers within the Texans, I think that sometimes they don't go after the types of secondary players that they should. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going after a guy who's a playmaker, a guy who likes to play off the ball, who's great in zone coverage, that's great. That's fine and dandy. But what if you're playing against a team that has a good offensive line that is able to block up the pass rush and the quarterback actually has time to throw?
Right.
And that's why I think that I've been thinking this for years, that you got teams like Alabama. Alabama's been overrated with their defense for a long time, especially in the back end.
Because of their front seven?
Because of the front seven. But if you can actually block that front seven and you put those DBs on an island and mm-hmm. actually force them to cover longer than 2 seconds, a lot of those DBs back there, they do have a lot of deficiencies that you're able to exploit, and we saw what Dabo Swinney was able to do just a little over a month ago.
So does this become a Bill O'Brien thing and say, we need to get a secondary coach in here that can run some man-to-man with all the games and packages you run up front? Or is it, sorry, because I run all these games and packages up front, I have to run more zone, or I have to run this type of secondary?
Well, I think that as a coach, you have to learn how to make do with what you have. And if you have a lot of guys that are able to play a lot of zone, things like that, then that's fine. Then you just be great at playing zone.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just don't get beat deep. You let everything thrown underneath. You come up, you make the tackle. J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney,
Merciless,
they're gonna get after the quarterback and do what they do, but you just don't beat yourself. Like, you could have Bill Belichick, and he could take this defense, and this defense would be very formidable. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Because
Bill Belichick knows how to use what he has. And I think that when you break it all the way down, some of the onus has to be put on the GM, Brian Game. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, he has not been there. A lot of the players on the team, that's from the Rick Smith administration. But going forward, mm-hmm. you have to start to put some of the onus on the guy who's actually picking and signing the players. Because you have to know what types of players you need for your coaching staff. You have to. Everybody has to be in unison. They have to be in lockstep together, thinking on the same train.
Mm-hmm. And as far as those players go, if we are to believe that Romeo Crennel is really good with the front seven, I mean, they only had 43 sacks last year. And the guy with the third most sacks was Whitney Merciless with 4. I'm not saying Whitney Merciless should lead the league in sacks each year, but it doesn't make sense to me for him to have just 4 sacks. Seth Payne threw this out there, and it led me to propose a splash that the Texans could make when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, because Stanford, it seems like the defensive linemen outside of JJ and outside of Clowney, who's basically a linebacker, they're a little bit heavy. And when the pocket breaks down, it's harder for those guys to get to the quarterback. So a guy like Ndamukong Suh, who now has 1 year of experience in a 3-4 defense, can get up the field. They're estimating his contract is going to be about $9.5 million per year.
Yeah.
Why not look at a guy like Ndamukong Suh that can add pressure to the quarterback and not be one of these heavy ass defensive linemen that we've seen ever since Romeo's been here?
Okay. Well, first off, as far as the heavy ass defensive linemen that you're talking about,
they help stop the run. I know.
You have to remember, in a 3-4 defense, the three down linemen are just there to clog up holes, to absorb
blockers.
Especially
the inside
tackle. That way the linebackers are able to roam free and clean. That is the true mantra of the 3-4 defense. That's the objective. You want to have guys, especially a nose guard. Your nose guard has to be at least 330. If you want to have an effective 3-4 defense, he has to be able to command a double team. Same thing with the DNs. That's why J.J. Watt is so good, because even though J.J. is not huge like 330, he's big enough, he's strong enough, he's fast enough, he's great enough to occupy two blockers and command that sort of a double team. Now, right, as far as what you're saying, what you just threw out there about Ndamukong Suh, I agree. That would be a nice signing, because I liked what he did for the Los Angeles Rams this year.
He was a nose tackle on a 3-4.
But guess what?
That's what he did.
Does Ndamukong Suh, and everything that you know him to be and everything that he comes with, do you see him fitting in with the guys over there at Kirby within that front office? Do you see that?
See, the thing about Suh,
it's been on field. It's been on field.
Exactly.
Anger.
I think, like, if he were sitting in
this
room,
I think him and Bill O'Brien could get along. I think they both have similar anger issues.
If Ndamukong Suh was sitting in this room, you, me, Landry, all of us would just
That's a bright guy. Totally I've been engaged. In the same room with him.
Yeah. Totally engaged.
Of
with
course.
Him. He would be so, like, well balanced. And I know that sounds like a backhanded compliment, but it's when he's on the field, he's got anger.
I love the way he plays.
Yeah.
I love the way he plays. Yeah. I'm just saying, do you think that the guys in the front office, the higher ups over there, off of Kirby, do you think they will allow that? That's
sure.
all I'm asking.
I mean, I think they should be open to it. We don't know, though. That's the thing, Stanford, because I've heard you say this a couple times. This is a different guy. This isn't Rick Smith. This is Brian Gaines. So we don't know. We can assume, but we don't know. But he has played. He has been a nose tackle in a 3-4.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about that, Landry. Yes, we don't know who Brian Game is, but we know the mindset of the ownership.
Of the organization. Yeah.
We know the mindset of the ownership. Now, Bob McNair, God rest his soul, we see that his son is going to be taking over. We can see the mindset. And yes, there's plenty of times where a GM may sign or not sign a guy that wasn't even his call. It's simply that it was something over his head,
right,
and he was told, hey, I don't want you to sign this guy, or I want you to sign this guy. So, yeah, we can go ahead and give credit to Brian Game all we want about, well, we don't know. Maybe he will sign Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be beyond his pay grade.
We'll have to see. Stanford Rout is in the building, 8-year NFL vet. He's already had one Jim Humble brag, so we'll see if the over-under of 5 hits. Maybe he'll mention a juice cleanse, but those of you that had the over-under 5, you're looking good so far. Coming up next, what should the Texans do with J.D. Clowney? We'll ask Stanford. You're in the loop with Landry and Lopez on Sports Radio 610.